In Mandarin， 这里是美国之音的中文广播。现在就开始今天下午六个小时的中文节目。
接下来请听这小时的简要新闻。一位美国官员星期天说，中国取消了与美国国防部长马蒂斯的安全会谈。这位要求不透露身份的对中国政策有关的美国官员说，目前还不清楚是否会安排其他时间。最先报道这一新闻的《纽约时报》援引美国官员的话说，不清楚中国取消这次会谈的原因是美中关系众多问题上的分歧，包括美国向台湾出售军备，在南中国海和其他中国中国周边海域的军事活动。美国和中国目前正处于不断升级的贸易战，美国对总值2500亿美元的中国产品加征关税，中国对1100亿美元的美国产品加征报复性关税。在北京的消息人士上个星期曾经表示，由于美中关系紧张，原定的安全对话可能不会举行。中国外交部部长王毅上个星期表示，对美国和中国之间的贸易摩擦没有必要感到恐慌。美国和加拿大的官员经过紧张的谈判，在美国制定的星期日夜间12点最后期限的最后一刻宣布达成贸易协议，以新的美国、墨西哥和加拿大的三方协议取代20多年前签署的北美自由贸易协定。美加墨三国之间的贸易额大约每年为12000亿美元。新的协议预计将在60天内由美国、加拿大和墨西哥三国领导人签署。一位美国高级官员说，这对美国来说是一个非常好的协议，也是特朗普总统的一大胜利。特朗普在2016年总统大选期间把对北美自由贸易协定批评作为一个主要的竞选议题。韩国国防部官员说，韩国和朝鲜星期一开始在戒备森严的分界线排除地雷，这是朝鲜半岛南北方关系缓和紧张和增加互信努力的一部分。韩国总统文在寅和朝鲜领导人金正恩上个月在平壤举行峰会时就排除分界线的地雷达成协议。韩国国防部官员说，双方同意在20天内排除板门店联合安全区所有的地雷，目前不清楚朝鲜军队是否已经开始了排除地雷的行动。白宫星期天表示，对于联邦调查局调查最高法院法官候选人卡瓦诺，白宫并没有进行微观管理。白宫新闻秘书桑德斯星期天告诉福克斯电视新闻网，白宫法律顾问允许参议院决定条款和调查范围。上个星期四，卡瓦诺和福特分别在参议院司法委员会作证。女教授福特说，她100%确定在高中时性侵她的是卡瓦诺。卡瓦诺说，她是无辜的，绝没有像被指控的那样，在1982年时性侵福特。特朗普答应委员会的要求，在星期五下令对卡瓦诺进行调查，同意进行新调查是特朗普行政当局和共和党人的让步，他们坚决否认卡瓦诺已经被彻底审查过数次。美国加利福尼亚州成为美国第一个法定要求所有的上市公司的董事会必须有女性成员的州。加州州长布朗星期天签署了这项法令。法律规定，在明年年底之前，所有在加州上市的公司董事会必须至少有一名女董事。在2021年年底之前，凡有5名以上董事的董事会必须有至少2名女董事。规模更大的董事会则必须有至少3名女董事。各位听众，您刚才收听的是美国之音的国际新闻。
Hello, I'm Elizabeth Moore. Welcome to Functioning in Business.
各位听众好，我是杨晨，欢迎收听商务通英语。
Functioning in Business is an intermediate level business English course with a focus on American business practices and culture.
商务通英语是中等程度的商务英语课程，课程题材以美国的商业实践和文化为主，通过电台播音室里的采访和绘画讲授美国英语。今天我们复习本星期的课程，这星期我们和大家一起复习了以前36课商务通英语的内容，主要围绕三位企业界人士的活动，包括他们的会见和业务洽谈。我们复习的第一课首先是 Blake 先生在史杰饭店办理住宿登记时同接待员之间的一次对话。复习的重点是这次对话里体现的几种重要的语言功能，例如向对方提出要求，向对方确认某一事项，或者寻求对方确认某一事项等等。
This week, we're going to review some of the conversations we've heard in earlier programs. We're going to pay special attention to important language functions in these conversations.
That's right. A language function is something that you do with language. For example, a request is a language function. You make a request when you ask someone to do something for you.
Yes, we're going to hear some requests in our first conversation.We're also going to hear Mr. Blake and the receptionist confirming information. Now let's listen to Mr. Blake checking into the Embassy Suites Hotel.
Good evening, sir. Welcome to the Embassy Suites Hotel. Can I help you?
Yes, my name is Blake, Charles Blake. I have a confirmed reservation.
Mr. Blake, yes. And the reservation number?
Let's see. Here it is.14689.
14689? Let me check. Yes, sir, we have your reservation right here. That's for June 10th through the 13th, Monday through Thursday night. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, that's fine.
Okay, and the room, sir, is 685 on the 6th floor. I've got the key right here, and I'll get a bellman for you right away.
Okay, what was the price of the room again?
That room is $120 a night.
Okay, fine. Can I use my credit card for that?
Yes, certainly, sir. Can I make a print of your card before we check you in?
Sure. There you are.
Okay, thank you. All right, fine. We're all set here, Mr. Blake, and I'll get the bellman right away. We'll get you to your room.
Oh, by the way, there's a chance I'll be staying one more day, so I might be leaving on Saturday. Is that okay?
Let me check.Well, sir, I'm afraid we're all booked up for Friday night, but something may open up. Can I let you know?
Okay. If you could let me know as soon as possible, I would appreciate it.
Yes, we can do that for you, sir. Okay, and here's your key, sir. I'll get the bellman. Bellman, front!
What do you think about this conversation?
This seems to be a typical conversation for checking into a hotel.First, the receptionist checks the reservation and confirms the information. Then, she tells him where his room is and gives him the key.
Before he leaves, he confirms the price of the room.
Yes, he does. And he checks to make sure that he can pay by credit card.
What was the price of the room again? Can I use my credit card for that? Can I make a print of your card before we check you in? I'm afraid we're all booked up for Friday night. Okay, if you could let me know as soon as possible, I would appreciate it.
接着我们复习 Blake 先生住进旅馆以后在电话上同 Epstein 先生的一次谈话。我们也要重点复习这段对话里涉及的语言功能，例如提建议、就一个事项表示确认等功能。这些语言功能在商务场合都是必不可少的。另外请注意，两个人在讨论业务之前先交换了一些寒暄的话。
Now let's listen to our next conversation. When Mr. Blake got to his room, he called Mr. Epstein to make an appointment to meet with him. You will hear examples of suggestions and confirmations.
Yes, these language functions are very important in using English in business situations. And notice that they begin their conversation with small talk when Mr. Epstein asks Mr. Blake about his flight.
Okay, let's listen.
Advanced Technologies, may I help you?
Yes, this is Charles Blake from International Robotics. I'd like to speak with Mike Epstein, please.
Just a minute, and I'll put you through.
Epstein?
Mr. Epstein, I have a Mr. Blake from International Robotics on the line.
Okay, thanks. Mr. Blake.
Hello, Mr. Epstein. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Great.
How was your trip?
I had a nice flight, and it was on time.
When did you get into San Francisco?
I just arrived a few moments ago.
Say, when shall we get together?
Well, I was hoping that we could perhaps arrange a meeting for tomorrow sometime.
I'll tell you what. I'm free after 11 o'clock. How's that sound?
That sounds fine with me.
Okay. Where are you staying?
I'm staying at the Embassy Suites. It's about 20 minutes south of the airport.
That's real close to my office here. I'll tell you what. I'll meet you tomorrow around 11:15. Then we can go to lunch, and then I'll show you around San Francisco.
That sounds very nice.
Great. Just one other thing. I would like to introduce you to one of our vice presidents, Ms. Shirley Graham. She's the manager of the project that I'm working on, and I was wondering if we could get together again, say, Wednesday.
I have no plans on Wednesday, and I would like to meet her.
Okay. If you could keep your schedule free around lunchtime on Wednesday, and then I'll finalize that appointment with her.
Okay, very good.
All right. I'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow morning.
Okay, that's tomorrow, 11:15 at the hotel.
Yes, okay.
I'm looking forward to seeing you, too.
Okay, see you then. Bye-bye.
There seems to be a nice, friendly feeling between Mr. Blake and Mr. Epstein.
I agree. They seem to really like each other.
What do you think about this conversation?
Well, they begin with small talk. Mr. Epstein asks Mr. Blake about his flight.
Right.
Then they decide on their meeting time. Mr. Epstein also makes arrangements for Mr. Blake to meet Ms. Graham.
And at the end of the conversation, they confirm the time and the place of their meeting.
That's right. They make sure that they have understood correctly.
Thank you, Gary. Yes, this is Charles Blake from International Robotics. I'd like to speak with Mike Epstein, please. Say, when shall we get together? I'm free after 11 o'clock. How's that sound? That sounds fine with me. I'll tell you what, I'll meet you tomorrow around 11:15. I was wondering if we could get together again, say Wednesday. Okay, that's tomorrow, 11:15, at the hotel.
Epstein先生和Graham女士之间的一段谈话。 这次谈话是在Graham女士的办公室进行的。 请大家注意听双方在谈话里用了哪些语句，要求对方澄清某个问题或者确认一项承诺。
This week, we're going to review some of the conversations we've heard in earlier programs. We're going to pay special attention to important language functions in these conversations. First, we're going to listen to a conversation between Mr. Epstein and Ms. Graham. The conversation takes place in Ms. Graham's office on Tuesday, June 11th.
In this conversation, we will hear examples of the language for confirming plans.
Let's listen to the conversation.
Come in.
Oh, Shirley, do you have a minute?
Sure. Come on in, Mike. Have a seat.
Oh, thanks. Listen, I just wanted to let you know that I've made reservations for lunch tomorrow afternoon at 12:15. Okay?
With Mr. Blake?
That's right. Of International Robotics.
Okay, so we should leave here at...
About 12 o'clock.
12 o'clock sounds just fine.
I'll pick you up here at 12 o'clock, and we can go to his hotel together.
All right.
Okay.
Now, have you already discussed any of the project with him?
Yes, I had an excellent meeting with him this afternoon.
And did you tell him about my main concerns?
Do you mean the October deadline?
Yes, and the fact that they have no after-sales service in the States.
Yes, I did. And again, I was very impressed with his flexibility. I think that we can work things out with him.
Okay. As long as it's clear to both of you that it has to be worked out, and before October. Because that's our deadline.
Well, again, I understand your reservations, Shirley. But again, the technology of their product is really excellent. I think we really have to go ahead with this.
Yes. All right. Well, let's discuss it further tomorrow. All right?
Okay. All right. Thank you. We'll see you tomorrow.
We'll see you around 12 o'clock.
Okay.
Okay, so they do two things in this conversation.
Yes. First, they confirm the time and the place for their meeting with Mr. Blake. And Mr. Epstein reports on his meeting with Mr. Blake.
Ms. Graham also confirms that Mr. Blake and Mr. Epstein talked about her concerns.
That's right. She has two main concerns, the October deadline and after-sales service. We'll hear more about those issues in other conversations.
Okay, let's take a short break, and then we'll listen to another conversation. Do you have a minute? Have a seat. I'll pick you up here at 12 o'clock. Do you mean the October deadline? I understand your reservations. I think we really have to go ahead with this. Well, let's discuss it further tomorrow, all right? We'll see you around 12 o'clock.
接下来, Epstein 先生和 Graham 女士两个人在谈话以后的第二天, 又一起在使节饭店的大厅同 Blake 先生会面。
Our next conversation takes place the next day, Wednesday, June 12th. Mr. Epstein and Ms. Graham are in the lobby of the Embassy Suites Hotel. They are looking for Mr. Blake.
This conversation contains examples of introductions and small talk. It also shows how to interrupt politely.
Let's listen to the conversation.
Now, let's see. Where is he? Oh, there he is, over there reading the newspaper. Mr. Blake?
Oh, hi, Mike. How are you today?
It's good to see you, Charles. This is our Vice President, Shirley Graham. Shirley, this is Charles Blake from International Robotics.
It's nice to meet you, Mr. Blake.
Pleased to meet you, Ms. Graham.
How are you today?
Fine. And you?
Just fine. Mike tells me that he took you around San Francisco yesterday.
We had a great time yesterday. We went down to Fisherman's Wharf and we had lunch. And then we drove around San Francisco and saw a bit of the city.
Is this your first trip to the West Coast?
Well, not really. I was here about 7 years ago, just for a very brief visit. And now I have a little bit more time to see some of the city.
Well, I hate to interrupt, but we have a car outside, and we have reservations at 12:15. So why don't we get over to the restaurant, and we can continue our conversation there? Okay?
Okay.
Sounds fine to me.
Okay, let's go.
What do you think about this conversation?
First, Mr. Epstein introduces Mr. Blake and Ms. Graham. And then they make some small talk. They talk about friendly, personal topics.
Yes, Mr. Blake tells Ms. Graham about his day in San Francisco with Mr. Epstein.
Notice that he only talks about the lunch and sightseeing, not about the business discussions.
Yes, I see.
Then Mr. Epstein interrupts, using the polite expression, I hate to interrupt. They'll continue their conversation at the restaurant.
We'll listen to those conversations in our next show. Now let's take a short break. It's good to see you. This is our Vice President, Shirley Graham. Shirley, this is Charles Blake from International Robotics. It's nice to meet you, Mr. Blake. Pleased to meet you, Ms. Graham. Is this your first trip to the West Coast? I hate to interrupt, but we have a car outside. Why don't we get over to the restaurant? Sounds fine to me.
复习第三部分，我们首先要复习 Blake 先生、Graham 女士和 Epstein 先生在一家餐厅共进工作午餐时的谈话。复习的重点是双方在谈话里使用了哪些语言功能来明确各方的立场和意见。
This week, we're reviewing some conversations from earlier shows.
And we're paying special attention to important language functions in these conversations.
Our conversations today all take place at a restaurant. Mr. Blake is having lunch with Ms. Graham and Mr. Epstein.
In the first conversation, we'll hear examples of confirming understanding.
Let's listen.
Well, we were very impressed by your presentation, Mr. Blake. Your robots are very competitive.
I'm glad you think so, Ms. Graham. We plan to be very aggressive selling them in North America.
I'm sure you'll be very successful. However, that brings me to my main concern.
Yes?
There's no doubt that your robots are well engineered, and the price is quite low, very reasonable.But it's the other details that worry me.
You mean about service and support?
Exactly. After-sales service and support are very important, too. As Mr. Epstein has told you, we have a good relationship with United Industries, and we know we can depend on them. On the other hand, your company has no facilities nearby, not even a warehouse for spare parts. That makes me very nervous.
I understand. As I told Mike, I'm sure we can work out a satisfactory arrangement. For example, we can send you spare parts ahead of time.
I appreciate that, Mr. Blake, but we don't want to warehouse spare parts here. It's just asking for trouble, and it also adds to our cost.
Yes, I see your point.
Oh, here's our food. Why don't we take a break for a moment?
Gary, let's talk a little about this conversation.
Ms. Graham begins by complimenting Mr. Blake on his presentation. And she agrees that his robots are well engineered and that the price of the robots is very reasonable. But she's worried about some other details of his proposal.
About after-sales service and support.
That's right.She is concerned because Mr. Blake's company doesn't have storage facilities in California, and she doesn't want to store spare parts in her warehouse.
Yes, that could be a problem.
There's
no doubt that your robots are well engineered.However, that brings me to my main concern. You mean about service and support? I appreciate that, Mr. Blake, but we don't want to warehouse spare parts here. Yes, I see your point. Why don't we take a break for a moment?
接下来我们继续复习 Blake 先生、Graham 女士和 Epstein 先生在那次工作午餐结束后继续进行的对话。这次谈话里使用的语言功能有向对方提供选择的用语，有澄清立场的用语，还有表示承诺的用语等等。
Now let's listen to our next conversation. This conversation takes place at the end of the business lunch. Mr. Epstein, Ms. Graham, and Mr. Blake have just finished their meal.
The main language functions we'll hear in this conversation are offers, clarifications, and promises. The conversation begins with Mr. Epstein offering coffee to Ms. Graham and Mr. Blake.
Okay, let's listen.
Well, that was a pretty good meal.
It was delicious.
Would anyone like some more coffee, Shirley?
Not for me. No, thank you.
Yes, I'd like a little bit more, please.
Okay, there's the waiter. Waiter, could we get another cup of coffee over here, please? Thank you.
Okay, Ms. Graham, let me see if I understand you correctly on this. Now, your basic problem is that we at International Robotics cannot provide adequate maintenance or spare parts quickly enough.
Yes, that's right. That's my main concern.
Okay. Now, you've rejected the proposal that we use your warehouse for storage space for spare parts.
Well, not entirely, Mr. Blake. Let me clarify that a little. Space is limited, and it would depend very much on the quantity of parts, the size, etc. I would need a lot more detail on that.
I can certainly understand your concerns. I'm going to put this information in a report after I fax Beijing.
Okay.
And I'll have the report ready for you tomorrow, and maybe we can come up with a solution to the problem.
Okay. Well, that sounds fine. Even then, Mr. Blake, I can't make any guarantees. You know, we've never done business with a Chinese company before, so it's quite an undertaking.
Oh, I can certainly understand.
So I hope you will understand.
Sure.
Okay.
Mr. Blake begins by summarizing the basic problem as he sees it.
That's right. The problem centers around maintenance and spare parts. Ms. Graham clarifies her position about storing spare parts, and she asks Mr. Blake to provide her with more details.
Yes.
And Mr. Blake confirms his understanding of each point and then promises to prepare a report for her.
Do you think that Mr. Blake will sell his robots to Ms. Graham?
It's hard to say. Ms. Graham has never done business with a Chinese company, and she doesn't seem to be the kind of person who likes to take risks.
Mr. Epstein wants to do business with Mr. Blake's company.
Definitely. He is very impressed by the quality of their engineering, and he believes Mr. Blake will be able to provide a satisfactory plan for after-sales service.
Well, in future programs, we'll see what happens in these negotiations.
I'll be looking forward to that.
Thank you, Gary. Would anyone like some more coffee, Shirley? Not for me. No, thank you. Yes, I'd like a little bit more, please. Waiter, could we get another cup of coffee over here, please? Okay, Ms. Graham, let me see if I understand you correctly on this. Let me clarify that a little. I can certainly understand your concerns. I'm going to put this information in a report after I fax Beijing. Even then, Mr. Blake, I can't make any guarantees. Well, our time is up. Tune in again next time for Functioning in Business. See you then.
今天的商务通英语就复习到这里，谢谢各位收听，我们下次再见。
For further study, a Functioning in Business study kit is available from your local bookstore.
为了帮助学习, 商务通英语备有课本和录音带，整套辅导学习材料，听众可以去本地的书店购买。
各位听众，接下来请听这一小时的美国之音的简要新闻。一位美国政府高级官员星期天说，中国取消了与美国国防部长马蒂斯的安全会谈。这位要求不透露身份的与对中国政策有关的美国官员说，目前不清楚是否会安排其他会谈时间。最先报道这一新闻的《纽约时报》援引美国官员的话说，不清楚中国取消这次会谈的原因是否是美中之间在众多问题上的分歧，包括美国向台湾出售军备、南中国海和其他中国周边海域的军事活动。中国和美国目前正处于不断升级的贸易战，美国对总值2500亿美元的中国产品加征关税，中国对1100亿美元的美国产品加征报复性关税。在北京的消息人士上个星期曾经表示，由于美中关系紧张，原定的安全对话可能不会举行。中国外交部长王毅上个星期表示，对美国和中国之间的贸易摩擦没有必要感到恐慌。美国和加拿大的官员经过紧张的谈判，在美国制定的星期天夜间12点最后期限的最后一刻宣布达成贸易协议，以新的美国、墨西哥和加拿大的三方协议取代20多年前签署的北美自由贸易协定。美加墨三国之间的年度贸易额为大约12000亿美元。新的协议预计将在60天内由美国、加拿大和墨西哥三国的领导人签署。一位美国高级官员说，这是对美国一个非常好的协议，也是特朗普总统的一大胜利。特朗普在2016年总统大选竞选期间把对北美自由贸易协议的批评作为一个主要的竞选议题。朝鲜国防部说，韩国和朝鲜星期一开始在戒备森严的分界线排除地雷，这是朝鲜半岛南北方缓和紧张关系、增强相互信任努力的一部分。韩国总统文在寅和朝鲜领导人金正恩上个月在平壤举行峰会期间就排除分界线的地雷达成了协议。韩国国防部说，双方同意在20天内排除板门店安全联合安全区所有的地雷。目前不清楚朝鲜军队是否已经开始了排除地雷的行动。根据韩国和朝鲜达成的协议，地雷排除后将取消联合安全区的警戒哨卡，并移走武器。留在联合国安全区的军人将不携带任何武器。白宫星期天表示，对于联邦调查局调查最高法院法官候选人卡瓦诺，白宫并没有进行微观管理。白宫新闻秘书桑德斯星期天告诉福克斯新闻节目，白宫法律顾问准许参议院决定条款和调查范围。上个星期四，卡瓦诺和福特分别在国会参议院司法委员会作证。女教授福特说，她100%确定在高中时性侵她的是卡瓦诺。卡瓦诺说，她是无辜的，绝对没有像被指控的那样在1982年性侵福特。特朗普应委员会的要求，在星期五下令对卡瓦诺进行调查。同意进行新调查是特朗普行政当局和共和党人的让步，他们坚决认为卡瓦诺已经被彻底审查过数次。美国加利福尼亚州成为美国第一个法律要求所有的上市公司的董事会必须有女性成员的州。加州州长布朗星期天签署了这项法律。法律规定，在明年年底之前，所有在加州上市的公司董事会必须有至少1名女董事。在2021年年底之前，凡5名以上董事的董事会必须至少有2名女董事，规模更大的董事会则必须至少有3名女董事。目前在加州上市的公司有1/4的公司董事会没有女董事。根据加州的新法律，达不到相关标准的公司第一次将被罚款$100,000。各位听众，您刚才收听的是美国之音的国际新闻。
以下为您重播美国之音 VOA 卫视时事大家谈节目，因为是节目录音，请您不要拨打电话。
好，欢迎回到美国之音的时事大家谈。中共高调纪念改革开放40周年之际，邓小平改革路线最辉煌的成果，却进入了40年来最危难的时期。在国进民退的大潮流冲击下，民企纷纷自动并入国企寻求自救，习近平倡导的混合所有制阔步前行。近日，中共官员更公开要求私企的党组织要领导工人共同参与管理，共享企业发展成果。外界担心一场新的公私合营指日可待。就在这种背景下，50人论坛的产政学界精英冒着妄议中央的风险呢，痛批中央的经济政策背离市场化、法治化、社会资源等生产要素配置机构扭曲和不公正，造成国进民退，并重申民营企业的财产权不可侵犯等改革开放成果。中共官方高调纪念改革开放，而民间精英却在冒险谏言最基本的改革成果，前进与倒退一目了然。我们今天时事大家谈邀请专家与听众观众及网友朋友们一同来探讨这个问题。在北京通过电话连线参加我们节目的是经济学者胡星斗教授。胡教授你好。
主持人好，观众朋友们好。
在纽约通过电话连线加入访谈的是前纽约新学院大学访问学者徐有余先生。徐先生您好。
主持人好，观众朋友大家好。
这个中共人社部的副部长邱小平呢，他近日要求私企的党组织要领导工人共同参与管理，共享企业发展成果。许多私营老板坦言啊，中秋之夜他们连月饼都吃不下，觉也睡不好。那我来请教北京的胡星斗教授，老板们为什么担心？他们担心什么？
人社部副部长的说法，他只代表他个人的观点，肯定不能够代表高层的主流的观点，所以他那个话在大多数微信上好像也被屏蔽了。民企老板最担心的那就是财产安全问题，怕被共产了。而多种所有制共同发展是改革开放这个40年的成果吧，也是一项基本的经济制度，确实是动摇不得，而不能够机械的去按照共产党宣言中所说的消灭私有制如果那样的话，那中国经济会一落千丈甚至国家也可能陷入贫困和动荡。工人参与管理它不应当是面针对的私人企业，而应当是国有企业，也就是所谓的过去叫全民所有制的企业。国有企业才要共管共享，而不是人贫困实际上都是前车之鉴，都是那种国有企业这个做得过大，剥夺了民营企业一味的国有化造成了过去的或者是现在的动荡的局面这些都是前车之鉴中国呢早就应当引以为戒。
好的，那么胡教授我再问您一句，就是说呢，您刚才说呢，您分析的很有道理，但是您刚才说呢，这个邱小平先生呢，他只代表他自己的观点，不一定代表这个最高层的意见。但是我们网上的这个许多这个评论呢，都这么担心，就是说呢，邱小平不是个一般身份，他和吴小平不一样。就是吴小平前一段时间呢，他提出呢要这个公有私营企业退场的那位学者，跟这位吴小平的这个身份不同。邱小平他是中共的主管官员，并且呢，他除了是人社部副部长之外，他还是中华全国总工会的好像是副主席。那么这样一位主管官员说这样的话，您认为他是确实代表他个人观点吗？
我认为尽管他是个副部长实际上在中国的这个体系中虽然属于高干，其实也并没有决定性的话语权。 啊，这个副部长连个中央委员都不是，一般来说连个中央委员都不是，啊，只能说，啊，代表他个人观点，也不可能代表了，就像你说的，他还在这个国家总工会中还任有职务，可能代表了某种啊工人阶级的观点，或者是呢某种文革时期的啊那种错误的观点。
嗯，好的，那么我来接下来请教徐有余先生啊。国进民退的现象呢已经出现过一段时间了，那么为什么最近引发了社会各界井喷式的这样一种担忧呢？徐先生。
好的，我首先我还是想表示一下，我是同意福信斗教授的分析的。现在国进民退跟化师为公并不是中共中央的既定政策，虽然有那么一些言论跟一些动向跟大家有这种极大的忧虑，但是它显然还不是一种既定的现象，只是一种值得忧虑跟值得关注的现象。至于为什么会这样呢，就是以前国进民退的渲染声已经有很多，现在为什么发展的更厉害呢？我认为实际上是总的形式，而没有一个具体的中共中央有一个大的动向跟出台什么东西，我觉得并没有这么有东西。之所以有这些，还是一个总的整个社会形势跟这种心理上的一些冲击造成的。就现在对社会的控制更紧了，意识形态更左了，这些东西大家联想起来会产生这种忧虑。但还有一种忧虑，我觉得大家没有提，评论里面说的很少，也是现在中国跟美国发生贸易战，而中共每次要应付这种即将出现的危机的时候，他一定会加紧这种社会控制。我觉得大家担心在未来的贸易战下一步发展的时候，中共为了保持它更多的稳定，或者为了预防经济上出现更多的风险跟危机的话，他采取的惯常做法就是加强管控，而加强管控的话，私人的自由的东西就会成分就会更少，那种统一的东西、管制的东西会更多。我觉得种种这种形式的总体形式的忧虑，使大家产生了这个想法，而并不是中共中央有个具体的政策出台要化师为公这种东西，我认为没有的。
好的，那么我们看到呢，他中共一方面呢，他在高调纪念改革开放40周年；另一方面呢，从多方面下手呢，这个那、像一些这个私企啊，这个私业就是私营企业的人士这样认为呢，把民企脖子上的这个枷锁呢越套越紧了。胡教授，您有这种感觉吗？啊，或者说这是为什么呢？
的确啊，那个民营企业越来越困难，甚至可以说是哀鸿遍野，因为我们平常对民营企业的接触也比较多啊，他们他都抱怨政策不稳定啊，对民营企业可能还越来越边缘化了，垄断了，垄断的情况还越来越严重啊，比如说降税啊，但是另一方面大家也知道，因为社保改革等等，实际上这个税负仍然是非常重的。按照国际上对中国的评估，中国的税负占 GDP 的比重高达67%左右，那比世界上平均水平可能差不多高出一倍。世界上平均水平一般也就是30-40%左右啊。中国呢要占到 GDP 67-68%这个左右，那个非常高的。这个现在呢，的确，有些人呢，错误地认为，国有企业才是这个社会主义的基础啊，才是这个政权的基础，所以民营企呢，民营企业只是被利用的关系，被利用，所以它逐渐的被边缘化，好像也是名正言顺的。但是这种观点，我认为是错误的啊。国企主导的结果，最后就会像现在的委内瑞拉那样，这个把企业都收归国家所有，接着就是贫困和动荡。因为这种国有企业，实际上既没有效率，也没有公平。现在很多那个极左人士就幻想着这个搞国有企业就有公平了，哪有公平呢？这个权力最后都集中的结果，那就是大量的特权。一部分人享有大量的特权，另一部分人呢就处于饥饿的边缘， 啊，一部分人是腐败，就像委内瑞拉那个前总统啊，他的母亲，这个携带着巨额的这个巨额的资金在美国生活啊，这个但是现在委内瑞拉的这个普通的民众呢，却陷入了这个贫困啊，整个社会甚至是这个抢劫成功，所以，当人们这个欢呼着，以为自己进入了啊这个共产主义天堂的时候啊，这个搞国有啊，搞这些啊，搞共有啊，以为进入了共产主义天堂的时候，但实际上，他是走入了人间地狱。
好的，那我来接下来请教徐先生啊，这个中共官方呢，他一方面安抚民心，宣称消灭私有制不是现阶段的任务，就像您刚才说的那样。他你不认为这是中共官方的现阶段任务，但是另一方面呢，我们看到私营企业呢却越来越难。刚才我们看到这位中共官员呢，他说这样的话，这是为什么呢？这就难免让许多人得出这样的一个结论，就是好像中共决策部门似乎心口不一。您有这种看法吗，徐先生？
这要分几个层次来说。第一点，我觉得中共决策部门心口不一这种现象是从来就存在的，从来就不会口头上说的跟心里想的是一致的，在有些时候会出现这种现象是并不奇怪的，这一点我觉得有这种可能。另外第二点，就是还有一点应该注意到的，就是现在中共的有些高层官员实际上挺想政治上投机的，他觉得他在揣摩中央，他觉得有这么一个意思，他想先说出来想立功，所以说的东西就会出现各种说法不一致，或者跟现行的东西不一致，高级官员的个别高级官员的表态跟现行的既定的政策不一致，这也是一个很重要的原因。比方前几年就发生过，有些就高级官员就揣摩中共又要搞阶级斗争了，就拼命提倡说阶级斗争是理直气壮就要搞，结果呢这种拍马屁拍到马腿上，中共他又不想承认这一点，所以就会出现一些声音的腔调不一样，这也是一个可以用来解释现在的情况。另外一点呢，我并不认为私人企业现在已经可以说明是走上穷途末路了，因为我们应该注意到一个更重要的事实，就是中共的当权者统治阶级的这些成员，他们已经尝到了私人经济的甜头，这是一个很重要的事实。另外他们不但尝到了甜头，他们自己也是中国的经济体制改革这种政策的私人经济跟市场化的一个既得利益者了，这个东西是不可动摇的。在这一点上，你说他们想要根据共产党意识形态要消灭这种私有制，我觉得是不可能。在他们的既得利益已经紧紧的跟市场化跟私有经济紧密的绑在一起了，他不会自己损害自己的财产的。在这种情况，我觉得我们要把大的东西看到以后，我觉得对这些各种说法、各种投机分子的言论，这些或者是一些说法不一、心口不一的东西，我们觉得它是一个迷雾，我们要拨开这种迷雾，看到真实的东西。
好的，那么刚才两位嘉宾呢都认为呢，目前私营企业走上这个很困难的这样一个道路呢，不是中共最高层的观点。但是我们看到许多人呢，认为这个习近平呢，他跟邓小平这个走的路线实际上是不一致的。我们看到很多人呢都举例，比如说习近平呢，他在2016年7月4号，在一个这个私营企业啊，就是如何这个发展国企的这样一个讨论会上，他做出这个批示。这些批示呢，看起来呢，就是说呢，他要理直气壮地发展国营企业，并且呢，我们看看习近平是怎样说的啊？他说，在中国共产党领导和我国社会主义制度下，国有企业和国有经济必须要不断发展壮大，这个问题呢，应该是毋庸置疑的。然而呢，他说一段时间以来，社会上一些人制造了许多许多的这个种种的这个不实之词吧，或者是呢，对发展国有企业呢失去信心。以什么制造一些国进民退啊、民进国退的等等这样话题，所以他认为呢，这些做法呢都是不正确的。发展国有企业应该理直气壮，所以这就让许多这个 可能造成了许多下边的官员呢揣摩上意，认为呢中央可能要改弦易辙了，会不会有这种可能？胡先生，胡教授啊，首先我请问胡星斗教授。
我不知道这个最高层啊他具体是怎么的想法，但是我想呢，改革开放40年啊，他的基本的这个成果是不能够改变的。他的基本的经验他的教训也是很明显的。也就是说改革40年其实那就是这个所谓的增量的改革，也就是在国有企业之外引入了民企然后整个社会的经济才有了活力。我们现在说搞市场经济实际上主要还是由于引入了民企的结果如果还要继续回到过去的这种国有企业那实际上过去我们有很多教训，我们前面说前苏联的经验教训等等，我们有很多的教训，实际上不仅仅是前苏联历史上西欧的各个国家东欧那就更不用说了西欧各个国家也都有国有化的试验比如说英国的工党法国的社会党瑞典的社会民主党等等，他们上台了以后都主张国有化，但是最后呢摸索了10-20年，有的摸索了20-30年最后都失败了因为它不符合人性和经济规律所以中国现在没有必要也没有这个本钱再去尝试历史上反反复复的证明是错误的东西我们人类第一次第二次可能犯了这种全盘的国有化的错误或者是这种国有化的错误可能是由于无知，如果你再三的再四的再去重蹈覆辙，那就不只是无知了。
好的，那么徐先生您有什么补充在这个问题上？
在我的总的倾向也跟胡教授的看法是一致的，我觉得有些东西是说说而已，是意识形态我们认真的理性的看他的执行的既定政策也没有看到这一点。我觉得要区分两个东西，一个是当权者他想控制市场经济干预市场经济的政策，这是历来就这么做的，这跟不要搞市场经济我觉得是两个概念现在做的东西是它从来都是现在跟加紧的东西要做的，我觉得还是属于干扰跟控制市场经济这一点，而不是从市场经济退回去这一点，我觉得这两个东西应该分清楚。
好的，那么还是回到邱小平的这个这个讲话上面，邱小平的讲话呢引起了这个民间的这个热烈的反响引起了民间的这个许多许多担忧，你像我们的网友呢也不例外，我们现在网友的评论进来了，我给大家选读一下，来我们听听网友在这个问题上怎么看。贾许他说，当年的三面红旗强制进入公有制改造，结果造成了巨大的灾难，工人的工时可以作为生产要素，可以作为生产要素，但是工人本身是不能作为生产要素的，这是反人类的。现在又要搞公私合营，会让所有稍微有点生命力的企业全部生病，接着又是无法避免的灾难。翻吴他说，私企啊与职工共享利润，那还叫老板吗？那老板还叫老板吗？那么职工愿意与老板共担风险吗？90年代国企玩不下去了，变成了私企，如今私企要倒回到国企，重吃大锅饭，这位牟小平绝不是有绝招一改国企的经营顽疾，而是要杀鸡取卵，让中共度过美中贸易战的难关。那么现在我们还是回到邱小平这个问题上，他让私企与职工共享利润，共享这个企业发展成果，那么我们这位网友提的对，樊吴他说，你共享发展成果，那么你是不是也要共担这个经营风险呢？胡先生您怎么看这种问题？
这个听众啊观众讲得非常好因为我们呢现在也接触大量的私营企业私营老板真的是非常不容易， 他们对社会的贡献非常大。他们往往能够安置几十个人、几百个人，甚至几千个人就业。老板和工人的区别，老板他要为企业的长远发展着想，企业盈利了，当然他赚钱了，企业亏损了呢，他很有可能倾家荡产。而工人呢，他是不需要承担风险的，他只需要上班拿工资，这个如果企业破产了，那他就拍屁股走人了。所以在一个正常的国家，一个正常的社会，都应当去尊重私人企业家，也就是这个企业家的劳动，尊重他们为社会所做出的贡献。凡是不尊重企业家的社会，那这个社会肯定是一个权力主导的社会，一个工人那种公权力主导的社会，那肯定是一个腐败的这种投机取巧的社会，那就这个社会也不会有什么创新等等。就像刚才这个徐教授所说的这个现在很多人呢，实际上他是一种投机政治，他在揣摩上意，揣摩生意，以为上面现在是要消灭私有制了，还是怎样然后就抛出这样的一些奇谈怪论，实际上都是一种投机政治的一种表现。
好的，那么我请教徐先生您怎么看邱小平这位副部长他倡导的，就是说职工要与老板共享企业发展成果这种说法？
我觉得这话是需要分析的。第一点，我觉得如果说职工要分享企业创造的劳动成果，甚至职工要参与企业的管理，如果再这么推论下去的话，邱小平先生的意思就是支持职工在企业中间成立工会了。但是这是跟现行的政策刚好是完全相反的一个东西，所以他的话要么是不用当真，要么是另有含义。我觉得这只能从这两种情况分析，不必当真就是这是他个人的意见。我觉得他的东西并不能导致可以在企业成立工会，让工人分享劳动成果，或者是参加企业的管理。如果说是别有用意的话，就可能是另外一个局面，就是工人怎么去参加管理，是工人怎么分享劳动成果呢？要通过党组织来做到这一点。所以我觉得任何削弱私人企业的话，实际上都是想通过加强党组织来做到这一点的。所以问题还出在党组织对企业的干预问题，而不是真正用不着担心工人在里面去跟民营企业一样争夺利益，这个问题是一个假问题。
好，发展私营民营企业呢，是邓小平改革开放路线的一个重要成果。邓小平曾经说过呢，要搁置姓社姓资的这样一个争论，一心一意发展经济，说这是基本路线，一百年不动摇。问题我们看来可能就出现这个一百年不动摇这个问题上。我们知道一百年好像很长，但它毕竟还是个阶段性任务。我来请教胡教授，这个私营企业真的想真的就是像这个资深金融人士吴小平他前一段说的那样，已经完成了他的历史使命了吗？要退场了吗？
是，你刚才这个念了邓小平说的话这证明了邓小平的高明之处搁置争议，一心一意来发展经济。这个基本路线要一百年不动摇，那现在邓小平才去世了二十来年。这个我想这样一个基本路线呢也是不能够动摇，而且现在也没有一个什么，就像刚才那个徐教授说的，也没有什么一个基本的决议要否定这个民营企业所以我说呢，民营企业它没有完成它的历史民营企业在税收在就业方面对国家的贡献都在60-70%左右或者以上。
我们感谢这个胡星斗教授和这个徐有余先生参加我们的节目。我们时事大家谈呢是一个自由的论坛，嘉宾听众观众发表的都是他们个人观点，不代表美国之音。明天我们时事大家谈关注热点话题，中国梵蒂冈临时协议，北京与罗马天主教廷是否走向共存？好，我是许波，下次节目再会。